Right, 807 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here on this Thursday. By the way, today, Thursday, is day 20 of the partial government shutdown. And as Kelly pointed out earlier in the week, will soon be the longest ever. Last, I guess the record stands at 21 days during the Clinton administration.
Correct.
So by Saturday, if this goes on, it will be the longest shutdown in record. We're talking about that throughout the morning and talking about it right now with AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne. And thanks for being on the show. Thanks for your time.
Good to be with you.
I want to talk about a couple things here in the overarching and then get down to what you're working on right now for Coast Guard members and making sure they get their pay. But do you have any sense that you can offer us back here at home that there's any meeting in the middle? Or I mean, after hearing the reaction from Vice President Pence and Speaker Pelosi and Schumer, it seemed like yesterday not much was done.
Yeah, I think we're going to get into new territory after tomorrow, because tomorrow these federal employees won't get paid. And I think that puts a lot of heat on Democrats, because Democrats disproportionately represent federal employees. And I'm already hearing from the freshman Democrats that they're feeling an enormous amount of heat. So that's going to put heat on their leadership. Here's what happened yesterday. They were in the Oval Office. Pelosi kept saying, we're not going to negotiate with you till you open the government. And so President Trump said, all right, Nancy, if I open the government for 30 days, will you negotiate with me on border security? She said no. Well, that's not a negotiation. That's a capitulation. The president said that we don't really have anything to talk about until you're ready to negotiate, even if I take the, you know, open the government. Until you're willing to negotiate, I don't know what there is for us to talk about. So he didn't storm out of the meeting. He tried to get her to negotiate. She wouldn't do it. There's nothing left for us to talk about. Now, that pressure is going to start building on their side, as I said. In the meantime, there is a group, a bipartisan group of U.S. senators that are over there trying to figure out how to make a little bit of a grander bargain so there's more in it for both sides. Maybe that attracts enough people from both sides to where we can get this thing off the dime. But, I've made it very clear, Sean. I mean, I think the president's in the right here. I know the national news media is never going to treat him fairly about this. I get that. And I think the man's doing the right thing, and I'm standing with him.
Yeah, Congressman Byrne, it seems like you just laid out, there's not anything, there's not a percentage of negotiation. I mean, if you have, the Democrats, Pelosi and Schumer saying reopen the government, and the president saying, okay, if I reopen it for 30 days, will we negotiate this? And the answer is no. Then, yeah, it's not a negotiation. I don't see where one side meets the other. It sounds like those two ends are as far apart as possible.
I've negotiated hundreds and hundreds of deals going back to my legal experience. I've never known a negotiation to work where one side says, I'm not going to give you anything, and the other side says, okay, I'm going to give up everything. I've never known that to work. And it doesn't work. I mean, that's just common sense. It doesn't work. So it's going to have to be pressure that builds up from down below Nancy Pelosi and her conference and down below Chuck Schumer and his conference for them to realize we're going to have to cut a deal here. We're not seeing any widespread defections among Republicans in the House or Republicans in the Senate. I'm beginning to hear real pressure and the possibility of defections on the Democratic side. So when it gets to that point, then that pushes Pelosi and pushes Schumer to actually get in the room and work this thing out with the president. This thing could be worked out in 45 minutes. It's not that difficult. What needs to be done, the president's put a very specific proposal out there in January the 6th. It takes into account a lot of Democratic requests. I mean, it's a very common sense, reasonable thing. I mean, it's just a matter of making sure that Pelosi and Schumer have got enough pressure from their own people that say, okay, we got to reach a deal here.
Congressman, you're pushing a bill right now to pay the Coast Guard through the end of the fiscal year. Can you, first of all, lay out the situation with the difference in how the Coast Guard's paid with other branches of the military?
Yeah, the Army, the Air Force, the Marines, the Navy, they're all paid under the Department of Defense. Unfortunately, the Coast Guard is paid under the Department of Homeland Security. So we appropriated the money back in September for the Department of Defense. So everybody in the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, Marines, they're being paid. There's no problem at all. But because we didn't fund the Department of Homeland Security in September, Coast Guard's not funded today, which means they don't have money to make their paycheck. And their paycheck would be due on the 15th, not the 11th. So what my bill does, it says, okay, just for the employees, the personnel of the Coast Guard, we're going to provide enough money. We're going to authorize the payments of their paychecks and other benefits through the end of this fiscal year, because they're out there performing services and duties that are very similar to the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and Marines, and they shouldn't be treated any differently just because they fall under a different department of government.
You know, looking at some of the people on Twitter talking about this, Mike says, while I don't disagree with you that no one should work without pay, the main reason is that the Coast Guard is contractually obligated to work without pay under the UCMJ. They don't have the option of quitting or walking away. They risk brig time if they don't show up.
Yep, that's true. And for all practical purposes, they are a part of the United States military. They're just not funded under the Department of Defense. They're funded under the Department of Homeland Security, and they're caught in this sort of weird situation. And we ought to take acknowledgement of that and treat them the way they should be treated, which is the same way we treat the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and the Marines.
It's, speaking of this, Ben on Twitter asking, why the Coast Guard more worthy of pay than other government workers?
Well, because they're performing a function that's for the national defense. And I think anybody involved in national defense should be paid like other workers involved in national defense. Now, by the way, I can make very quickly the exact same argument for the CPB personnel and for these TSA personnel that are at our airports. And I think that there's some other congressmen working on pieces of legislation for those folks, and I would agree with that. If you're involved in national security, national defense, then we should be paying you for what you're doing.
Yeah, I think that as areas of government work that will resonate more quickly with non-government citizens, you know, that don't have a direct connection on a paycheck, I can imagine TSA, air traffic control, when those things, people aren't showing up to work and planes aren't flying, y'all are going to have phones ringing off the hook.
Well, remember, we fly. I flew up here the other day, went through TSA, talked to the TSA personnel. By the way, one of them told me, you tell President Trump that I stand with him even though I'm not being paid. So, I mean, yes, it's going to start impacting a lot more people than just members of Congress after tomorrow. And as it affects more people, those people will contact their congressman. Congressmen will start feeling pressure. That pressure moves up from the rank and file to leadership. And that's when you're going to start seeing more movement from Pelosi and Schumer. Until then, they're sort of enjoying their time in the sun, although I got to tell you, their performance the other night in response to the president was terrible. I mean, they didn't look good, they didn't sound good, they didn't make any sense. So, I mean, if they're basking in the glory, they're basking in the glory of their very far-left supporters, because I don't think they look very good right now.
One of the things that gets reported out there, and I think it's worth having you respond to, that even yesterday, Speaker Pelosi, she said, listen, we offered a bill to reopen government on day one of the Democrats taking control of the majority in the House. We've already done this. We've done this, and the Republicans are the reason it's not getting done.
No, the president's made it very clear. He wants to reopen the government, and he wants, in reopening the government, to have adequate border security out there, or the next big step in adequate border security. And every president has done this, Sean. This is not new. Every president in the last couple of three presidents have built border wall, have built fencing, have provided these other things for border security. It's just when Donald Trump is president, when the Democrats are saying, oh, no, now it's immoral. Well, it wasn't immoral. Well, they voted for it and built these things in the past. It's just posturing on their part. And if the national news media was covering this accurately, it would be clear to everybody in America. But this is one of these very clear instances where the national news media is so very biased that they're not giving an objective presentation, not only of what's going on, but what it means in the context of how we've been handling this for the last 20 years.
Congressman Byrne, good morning. Kelly Finley here.
Kelly.
Hi. Question for you. So what do you think it's going to take to get the government shut down over and us back to business?
Well, as I said before, pressure from the rank and file up to the leadership. But I think we may have to take this issue and look at something beyond just border security. We may need to look at some other parts of this immigration issue, which doesn't bother me at all. Now, I've been very clear, as you know, I've said this over and over again, I'm not forgiving anybody amnesty. So that's not what I'm saying here. What I am saying is that the Democrats come forward and they say, well, we need more humane treatment for children and families that come across the border. Okay, let's talk about how we do that in a way that's in keeping with American law. So there's things we could, I think, reach an agreement on if they want to start broadening the issues that we're dealing with here within immigration. But at the center of this has to be border security. And Republicans should not, nor should anybody in the public expect us to, give up on what we think is essential to providing for the security of the American people. And we had a police officer killed a couple weeks ago by a deported and returning illegal immigrant. We have a young woman that was raped up in Shelby County by a deported and returning illegal immigrant. These are not abstract notions here. These are concrete instances where the security of the American people are threatened by our not having adequate control of our border. By the way, we know that there is an incredible amount of drugs pouring across that border. We know that there are criminal elements coming across that border. And we know that there are indeed incidences of where we have apprehended people who are terrorists or suspected terrorists at that border. Somebody says, well, it's not that many. Well, there are only 19 that committed the 9/11. So it doesn't take that many for them to wreak havoc on the American people. So there's a lot at stake here, and we have an obligation in Congress to make sure we're doing what we're doing to provide for security. If we need to talk about these other issues to get to that, I'm happy to do it. I think the president's happy to do it. I'm just not going to agree to something that the president and the people around him who are charged with doing this on our behalf have told me, yes, that gets us more towards border security.
Now, this one, a tough question. I don't know if you could answer it for you, maybe not for all the other Republicans in the House, but Scott in Alberta asks, if y'all couldn't do it back when you had the majority, why do you think you can get this done now?
Well, remember, when we had the majority under the Senate rules, you still have to have 60 votes, and that does require Democratic help. So even though we could push a bill out of the House and did, as you know, before we left on Christmas break, I mean, even though we pushed it out, the Democrats in the Senate said we will not agree to it. And let me tell you what happened. Because I was here. Thursday before Christmas, we pushed the bill out. Friday before Christmas, the Senate took up our bill. They worked on it that night with Vice President Pence. I spent the night here Friday night, expecting Saturday morning to get up, have a Rules Committee meeting so we could pick up something from the Senate. The Senate left. They just left. Chuck Schumer and them left. Nancy Pelosi left. They decided we're not going to come back. We're going to go take our Christmas break. We had nobody to negotiate with. We had to negotiate with the Democrats in the Senate to get to that 60-vote threshold. And you and I have talked about this a number of times, Sean. That's a real problem, that we had that 60-vote threshold in the Senate. So that's where we are. That's where we continue to be. We've got to work out a deal with the Democrats. And only when the pressure grows on them will we be able to reach an agreement.
All right, before we wrap up, I know we need to let you go. You're busy here, but remind folks, too, once again, this bill that you're pushing for, and this there's a lot of ears out here that that work with the Coast Guard, serve with the Coast Guard here. What is the bill, and what will this mean for them?
This bill would authorize and appropriate the money for all Coast Guard personnel to be paid in full through the end of this fiscal year, no matter what's going on with the government shutdown.
There we go. All right, Congressman, thank you for your time. Thanks for being on with us this morning, and we'll be watching what's going on in Washington and check back in soon.
Great to be with you.
All right, AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne. I'd like to hear from you when we come back at 343-0106, 343-0106. I'll put you at the front of the line if you heard something yesterday out of Republican or Democrat mouths that makes you think there's some deal going to be struck by the end of the week. Y'all call me with that nugget. I'm interested. All right, coming right back.